Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another exciting episode of The Light of the Southwest. I'm Eric Espatia.
I'm Holly Espatia. Shalom and welcome.
We are so excited to be with you, and like we always have, someone in a ministry somewhere in the world that has an important message for us. And today, joining us on our show, we have Mr. George Witten.
How you guys?
Founder of Worthy News and founder of Worthy Ministries. Holly's been following. We've been following you and your Worthy News updates. George, thank you so much. Where are you in the world today?
I am actually in near Dallas, Texas today, but changes at any given time. We have literally traveled 180,000 miles in the last 3.5 years. And, long story short, the Lord has got us moving. And I honestly don't know where we're going more than 2 weeks in advance. As crazy as that is, I'm part of that with doing Worthy News. Whenever an event has been happening, since we've been, I don't want to say moved to the States. We've been redeployed to the States for a season. But whenever a news event happens, we've actually gone right to it. We were a week after George Floyd, looking at the events in Minneapolis. We were in the middle of the Chaz and Chad riots in Seattle. We were in the Antifa riots within a week. And the crazy thing about the Antifa riots, it lasted 100 days. I could have taken my time getting there. But in the event of all that, during that election season, we were doing outdoor revival events during COVID when everything was shut down. And we were doing prayer events outside of capital cities, probably about 40 different outdoor prayer events during that time. And we've spoken basically 4 or 5 times a week and just really spreading the news of revival and how things are connected, especially now as we're getting so close to the end. Yes. I almost feel like we have to start, really pressing forward in a more urgent and a more, more focused manner in just spreading the good news. Right now is not a time to be apathetic. It is really time to understand what God is doing. And then how do we fit into that?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Revival is so important. Amen. And it's like revival is not only needed, once in your life. I think like it's weekly. Wake up. Get back on the
Sabbath. I do think that what's coming isn't really revival. Revival is kind of like within a church or within ourselves. I think what is actually coming is a great awakening. An awakening transcends denominational lines. And I think that that's, what's taking place. There's a lot of things that tell me that we are on the verge of something explosive spiritually. While we see a lot of things happening, with it being an election year, everything's really focused on politics and focused on those things. But I'm actually anticipating what God is doing. And I think that what God is doing is going to really be eye-opening. I think the election season is actually going to kind of set up the stage for the church the body of the Messiah in the U.S. to just awaken itself. Because we're going to realize that the war that we're fighting really isn't a physical war. It's a spiritual war. And we're really at a war of, against principalities and powers that really want to destroy this country, but not only that, but really want to go ahead and, usher in their system. Right. And so, I've been doing Worthy News now for 25 years. Mm. And this is actually the first year that we actually have had to break off from linking to any stories. Before, we were much like a Drudge Report when we first started. So we would link to about 20 different news articles a day. And then it got to the point where we had to actually start doing our own journalism. And now we actually have journalists down in Jerusalem, Budapest, Rome, and throughout the United States. And so we're ahead. Yeah, so we're a full-fledged agency now. And on top of that, we syndicate our news. So any ministry, any church, any messianic congregation, they can actually take our plug-in and actually fully syndicate our news, actually brings all of our news right into their website. And the idea was to become a Christian news agency really for the body of Messiah. I'm not allowed to lie. so that's why you always have to read, you have to really look at the news in the manner in which it's done now, because, the very first words of Yeshua's mouth about the last days was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And, if you really think about it, deception is everywhere. And only if you have the Spirit of God really, you know, giving you insights and really, you know, saying, you know, and so, you know, everything that we produce, I haven't had to take down any articles because it was an error. And I don't know if that can be really said for agencies these days. So,
yeah. Oh, man, that's what a blessing.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And yeah, I've been following Worthy News for a while. Very thankful for the weekly, sometimes more than weekly email updates y'all send out. They've just been very encouraging, you know, the way you open up with some encouraging stories, whether it's historical or anecdotal, and the scripture, and then followed up with the news. I mean, I definitely look forward to that email. And I'm a mom of five. I'm busy. I don't have a lot of time to sit and read. And so it's those things that do touch my spirit. I'm very thankful for them. And so thank you so much for joining us today and sharing with the GLC audience what you do and what Hashem has put on your heart. And I guess with that, if you would be okay opening up the segment with some prayer, we'd really appreciate that.
So, Abba Father, we just come to you in the name of Yeshua, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would just touch the audience, all those that are listening. I ask you, Lord, to give them ears to hear, eyes to see. I ask you, Lord, for a fresh anointing to deliver this word. And I thank you, Abba, that you transcend location. You transcend space. You know, we're two or more gathered together, despite the fact that we're thousands of miles apart. And despite the fact those that are watching are thousands of miles apart from us, you transcend time and space. And so, Father, we praise you, Abba. And we ask you, Lord, that your anointing will go forth in power and in might. B'Shem Yeshua Mashiach, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Amen.
And amen. Amen. Okay, so you're in Dallas right now, but you've got groups all over. Yeah, and you're moving, and you're basically following the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and wherever the Lord's leading you.
And we were, my wife and I were just talking. We don't know where we're speaking 2 weeks from now. You have no idea, but that's the way it's always been. You know, when things happen, you know, the week that I didn't know where I was going to speak, that when the train derailed in East Palestine, I had no thought about going to Ohio, but we went right to Ohio and kind of, you know, really got an understanding of what was happening there. Wow. Had five meetings open up. So, you know, it's been like that for quite some time. We had a situation when we were planning on coming down to Dallas. And the Lord said, not right now, wait 2 weeks. And I said, okay, what am I doing? And then all of a sudden, within a few days on a Thursday, they put together the march for, you know, for March for Israel in Washington, D.C. And I thought that was a very historic event. I would have already taken off in my flesh. I would have already gone. But the Lord said, you know, just, you know, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And the Lord just opened it up. And so we were there. We've been basically at every major, you know, some people are storm chasers. I'm kind of a news chaser. I basically have been, you know, at key places. You know, for example, we were in Israel. Last time we were in Israel, we were there for the 75th anniversary in Jerusalem on Yom HaTzmaut, which is Independence Day. And so we've been able to really get a feel for what's happening on the ground. And that's really the only way you can really report, you know, especially what's happening today. Because, you know, there's so much delusion and so much, you know, the things that are really important are actually buried. And the things that don't matter are front and center. And you know, you really have to go through and kind of sift through all the information. And then, you know, and then when we present our worthy brief, we send it out Monday through Friday. When we send it out, the idea is really to give the audience like their 12 to 15 points of prayer. And then to go ahead and give that information in such a, in a condensed way so that, you know, you can be informed completely about everything that's happening, but not consumed by it. Mm-hmm. You know, some people watch the news and they have on the news 24/7. And, you know, it can almost, the news is, I don't want to say it's designed, but, you know, television is designed to keep you, you know, stuck to the news and stuck to the TV. And, you know, it's almost quote unquote programming. And so the idea was to give the, you know, my audience just the ability to actually know exactly what's happening that's really prophetically relevant at the same time. you know, they're not consumed by it. You know, they actually have time in their lives to do what they're called to do. You know, yeah. And there's so much going on in the world. And so we are really working toward, you know, trying to inform the body of Messiah about all the key relevant events and really be able to pray into those events so that we can see something, you know, awesome happen. So there's a lot of things that happened this year, prophetically significant. You know, I'm really a big believer in how archaeology is telling us what God is doing. Hmm. So if you kind of look at the events, let's just go back to the founding of Israel. In 1947, when Professor Sutnick bought the beginning of the Dead Sea Scrolls that was found by a kid named Muhammad, of all things, you know, a Bedouin kid throws a rock into a cave in a place called Qumran. And this is the beginning of the discoveries of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, the first day that Professor Sutnick bought the scroll from a dealer in Bethlehem, he didn't know what he was reading, didn't know what he was. And it's the same day that the UN vote is happening, whether or not Israel has a nation. It's the exact same day. So, you know, a scrolls that have been buried for 2,000 years, you know, is unsealed the same day that these events are happening. You know, this is kind of the same repetitious, you know, manner that kind of goes on. For example, this year we discovered these, you know, ancient swords, 2,000-year-old swords. You know, we called them, you know, the Iron Swords. Oh, yeah. The name of the campaign and the war right now is called Operation Iron Swords. So, you know, the discovery happens, and then these things are happening.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things like that are happening. And I think that if we just kind of look at what is actually being done right now, it'll give us a lot of insight of what God is doing. You know, for example, the timing of this war, it happens on Simchat Torah. Now, look, as a news guy, I've had people say, you know, Israel allowed it to happen. They you know, just so many different kinds. The reality is that God allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a coincidence. There's God incidences. Mm-hmm. God allowed it to happen on a specific day, on Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah is the day the Jewish people have read through the entire Torah cycle and now beginning Genesis. So it's the eighth day of Sukkot, or the eighth day of Tabernacles, which means new beginnings, means revelation, it means resurrection. There's something there. And then on top of not only the eighth day, not only Simchat Torah, but the 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War to the day.
Right.
And you know, 50 is connected to Jubilee. You know, Jubilee is connected to, you know, all things restored back to the beginning, all things kind of happening. And at the same time that this is happening, you know, you had events like, you know, the Jesus Revolution movie come out, you know, and it was the 50-year anniversary of, you know, that revolution that took place, and this movie comes out. There was a lot of things that tell you that something new was happening, that God was doing something. Mm-hmm. And since that's happened, we're actually seeing the gospel explode across the U.S., or across the world. We don't see it so much. But I give you an example. In Nicaragua, which has been a communist nation for, you know, quite some time now, you know, the gospel has been really shut down. Well, we had a revival not even a couple of weeks after this, that 600,000 Nicaraguans went out to these mass gospel crusades, and tens of thousands came to faith and were baptized. And you had this
praise the Lord.
Yeah. And then we had an article that we just published last week about all these Muslims having dreams and encounters with Yeshua that has been unprecedented in history. We had another story of 200 Muslims in Gaza come into faith that had dreams and visions of Yeshua. Wow. So right now, you know, the gospel is exploding. And, you know, the timing of that war, right, you know, is connected to something. Well, you know, the eighth day of Sukkot, the last day of Sukkot, is the day that, you know, the Jewish people would go down to the Pool of Siloam. They would take the water pitcher, and then they would quote Isaiah 12:2, you know, "Behold, God is my salvation. You know, out of him shall flow rivers of living water." And that whole passage of Isaiah 12:2 and 3. Well, you know, it's that day that we read in the book of Yochanan or the book of John, that on the last day of the feast, talking about Simchat Torah, is when the Lord screams out and says, "If anyone believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So the anniversary of the war is literally almost, you know, 2,000 years to the day of when the Lord talked about this. Wow. And so So I think that what we're seeing right now, you know, from a prophetic viewpoint or from a prophetic perspective, I'm not really focused on who the Antichrist is or who the, you know, the 7 years of trib and those things. I'm focused on how do we go ahead and finish this race? You know, the one that is significant is in Matthew 24, when the Lord goes ahead and lays out the end days. The one thing that can't be denied is it says this gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. It must be preached. So the focus is how do we, I don't want to say expedite, but how do we go ahead and move the process along? It has nothing to do with how much knowledge we have of the last days. It's how much we're sharing this good news. Mm. And so the idea is to activate people to understand, hey, look, God is getting ready to do something. And I think that what happened in 67 to 73, that Jesus revolution time, you know, I was just reading the Time article that came out. And in that Time article, it actually detailed how these young hippies didn't have a good father at home. Mm. And they looked at Yeshua as the perfect father figure, one that was disciplined, one that was loving, one that, you know, gave them, you know, boundaries, and at the same time just loved on them unconditionally. You know, because when these hippies came to faith, you know, they were, you know, caught up in a culture of, you know, free love, you know, free drugs, and they were looking for a high. And what happened was when the revolution took place, you know, there's an outpouring of the spirit, and what they really got was what drugs were, was a counterfeit high, and what they got was a spiritual high.
Amen.
And so, you know, I think that if we look back, and this is what I've been preaching on recently, is that God actually set that generation of 67 to 73, and that now that generation's quote unquote retired. They haven't retired. They actually have been freed. Their time has been freed up. They were young men and young women that had dreams and visions back then.
Yeah.
And most of the messianic movement, whether you realize it or not, is birthed out of all these Jewish hippies that came to faith. Huh. And now all of a sudden we're coming at the end of the age. And I think that God had actually set up, and we didn't have any father figures in the 60s that could understand how do we go ahead and raise up, you know, a generation. So now if you have this whole generation that is older, I think they're going to get fresh visions and fresh dreams. And that God is doing something surreal in our midst, that all these people now are quote unquote retired. Now they're going to go ahead and have the time to go ahead and pray into this move of God. Mm. They're going to have the time to be the fathers and the grandfathers to a generation. You know, why we have so many problems in America and really throughout the world is that we have forgotten how to be a father. And you know, how do we go ahead and instill that kind of fatherly, you know, love and compassion at the same time. We don't compromise. You know, it isn't a situation where, you know, there's a compromise. But as these things are happening, when that happens, when the event that happens when Yeshua says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, that happens. And if you continue reading in John 8, is the woman caught in adultery. Well, John 8, you know, is a continuation of really the eighth day of Sukkot. Well, he also says to her, he doesn't judge her. He doesn't say, you adulterer. He says, woman, go and sin no more. You know? And he says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And it basically said, look, you need to turn away from the dark things in your life and follow the light of life. And then John 9, which is the only place the biblical pool of Siloam is mentioned. Mm. Now, the biblical pool of Siloam, we're digging out. We have just talked about how we're digging this pool out. And this pool that we're digging out isn't some small, it's an acre and a quarter in size.
What?
Wow.
I didn't know that.
It's a gigantic pool. Wow. This pool was so big. This was the pool. If you're reading Alfred Edersheim's The Life and Times of the Messiah, you know, Alfred Edersheim was a Jewish believer that actually had a real detailed knowledge of the Talmud and studied Jewish customs in the first century. This pool, when I first went to Israel, they said this pool was, you know, basically, you know, 3 feet long and 20 feet wide. And I said, this is the pool of Siloam. I said, I told the tour guide at the time. I said, that can't be the pool of Siloam. And he says, well, why do you say that? I said, listen, before a Jewish person went up into the temple, they went to the pool of Siloam and kind of did a mikvah. You know, they had to go ahead and submerge themselves, and they had to walk into the temple clean. Mm-hmm. We now have found the step road. We found the road that connects the Pool of Siloam to the Temple Mount. We now are digging out the Pool of Siloam. We're digging out the entire pool. The pool was being fed by the springs of Gishon. So it's this fresh water. It literally is living water that is flooding the pool. Wow. So now we are digging this out. Now, this is what I've been explaining to people in the context. If you were in the first century and Peter is preaching the word and 3,000 Jewish souls come to faith, when they come to faith, they need to be baptized, right? That's the very first thing he says. Well, here's the thing. You had 3,000 souls. Do you think they went to a pool, one little section, you know, one little, and they were doing 3,000 dunking? Probably did 50 of them. That pool water would be so dirty, you know, nobody would want to. So my thought is that Peter just said to the group, let's go down to the Pool of Siloam and be baptized.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because this is where 50,000 or 100,000 or 200,000 people would have been, you know, being mikvahed on the last day of Sukkot. Well, here it is. If this is the actual location of where the beginning of, you know, quote unquote, this harvest began, the beginning of the Jewish harvest, then when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and then it says all of Israel shall be saved. Mm. And I believe that this is really connected to Zechariah 12, when it says, and they shall look upon me whom they pierced. And it talks about the inhabitants of Jerusalem and those. As soon as they come to faith, what do you think is going to happen? I think they're going to get mikvah. They're going to get baptized.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Could it be that we are actually digging out the baptismal site for the nation of Israel?
Hallelujah. Wow. That gives me the chills. That's amazing.
You know, so if you can kind of think about, you know, when we find archaeological discoveries, we should be asking ourselves, God, what are you trying to tell us?
Yeah.
How are you trying to tell us where we are prophetically? Well, if that's accurate, and the Pool of Siloam is being dug out, which we know, the only place that is mentioned, the Pool of Siloam is mentioned, is in John 9. And John 9 goes through the details of, you know, there was a blind man that had been blind from birth. And there was this whole discussion. It's actually it's one of my favorite stories to tell. But in verse 4, he says, we must work the works of him while it is day, because night is coming when no man can work. I think that us digging at the Pool of Siloam and digging these things out is actually giving us a time frame that amount of time that we have to work is actually much shorter than we think. And so now it's not time to be apathetic. Now it's really time to understand where we are in prophecy, because God didn't give us prophecy to, you know, get us, you know, like kind of schizophrenic in this, like, who's the Antichrist? And God gave us prophecy to give us a sense of urgency about the mission. You know, the mission hasn't changed. Go and preach this gospel. They make disciples of all nations. And so the question is then, how can we go ahead and, you know, share this excitement of what God is doing? And God is at work. You know, we tend to, you know, kind of get lost in all the nuances of, you know, what this person believes, that person believes. The reality is, believe the gospel, and you believe that he, you know, came, died, rose again from the dead, and you're trusting him and him alone to save you. You're in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, why do we have so many denominations and why do we have so many divisions? It's because we focus on the minors that don't really matter, and we're not focused on the majors that is the majors. And if we focus on the major, then guess what? We're going to focus on the mission. You know, the mission is to preach this kingdom, the message of the kingdom. And the message of the kingdom always began with the word repent. And repent simply means a change of mind, a change of heart. And, you know, how do we readjust our thinking to God's way of thinking? How do we adjust our heart to his, you know, compassion and his understanding and his direction? And so I think that's, you know, where we are prophetically and how we're moving. I know I kind of just rambled off for about, you know, 20 minutes, but I don't know how much time we have, and we have all.
So I was curious then, did you make it to the campus revival, and what did you see there? Yeah.
Well, Asbury, I didn't go. They actually had it when I was planning on going. They actually had basically were closing out the outsiders from coming in. They had so many outsiders coming in that they were actually shutting out outsiders. And but at the same time, the good thing is I actually had people on the ground telling me everything that was kind of happening. So I was very much connected to everything that was happening. I actually covered quite a few different stories on that. I do think that we that is the beginning of something. You know, I'll give you a different insight. And this is kind of something I don't really teach on, but this is kind of my own personal thought process. I look at 2030 as a very significant year. The UN has plans for like Agenda 2030, and you kind of go through what their agenda is for 2030. And I look at the story of Joseph and a picture there. Joseph was a type of the Messiah. So he was the one that was known as the suffering Messiah. Even the rabbis will go ahead and say the suffering Messiah is connected to, and they would call him Mashiach ben Yosef. Well, Joseph is in Egypt. Now, Egypt's a picture of the world. So, and it's a picture of, quote unquote, the Gentiles. And when Joseph is in that world, you know, there's a huge harvest before his brothers come to recognize who Joseph is.
And that's right.
That's a 7-year harvest of harvest. You know, that it was so, but then there was such non-harvest, you know, that there, but Joseph's brothers didn't come right away. It's 2 to 3 years into the famine, you know, when they've actually used up their supplies, that's when they start looking for Joseph. I think that may be an indication that once something happens, like what I call, you know, this event that happened on Simchat Torah and this water breaking and the what I'm really referring to and what I'm sharing with people is I've been anticipating what I call as a water breaking moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're birthing a kingdom. You know, no woman, you know, says, I love giving birth. Well, most women
will say,
I don't love giving birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one likes the birth pangs. No one likes the, you know, and here we are, we're birthing a kingdom. You know, God gives us natural understandings of, you know, things that we understand naturally to give us spiritual comprehension. Well, in this birthing process, you know, we're birthing something. There's coming a moment when that water breaks. Now, when that water breaks, doesn't mean that the contraction stopped. The contractions got a whole lot harder and it got a lot more intense.
Yeah.
But with that water breaking, I believe, you know, with those contractions, that God's going to pour out his spirit fresh and new. Another outpouring, just like it was in the first century, I think it's going to happen again. And when that happens again, we will be needing to be a place where we're, Lord, where do you want us? Lord, you know, what where do you want us to go? And that's kind of how it's been for my wife and I for the last 3 years. You know, we didn't really plan on being in America. It just so happened that my brother suddenly passed away right before the airport shut down in COVID. He died February 28th, 2020 of a massive heart attack. He actually had power of attorney and he had, you know, he basically was the custodians of my parents. And so my parents aren't doing that well health-wise. So I've kind of had to figure out how to be in be able to get back to them in case there's a health emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want to quote unquote babysit them. You know, we got to preach this word. At the same time, my wife's father, who's Israeli, and her entire family are Israelis. They're going through their own health issues. So she's flying back and forth at occasionally. There's been we've done so much traveling. We've done more traveling 3 years that I don't know what to talk about, but it's insane. But in the same time that's all been happening, I really have come to a place where I and just say, Lord, where are we going? And the crazy thing is, even though I'm not booking more than, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 weeks in advance, we've been speaking 4 or 5 times a week, every week.
Amen.
And that's the Lord opening up doors, and that's the Lord setting up in motion before, you know, before the time ever began. He already planned our steps. And strange as it is, you know, when I used to itinerate when I was in Israel, and it would itinerate for about 2 months, I knew exactly where I was going. I knew exactly where I was, you know, and basically my schedule was worked out for 2 months, and then I'd fly back to Israel, you know. But now it's completely different. Now it's like, Lord, what direction do you have us? And as strange as that is, it really is exciting to kind of know that you're just walking in His will and just anticipating what He's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, you know, during the times of a, you know, storm, you know, we have the gates being breached in Israel. I feel like the gates in America are being breached, you know, through our borders right now, and this storm of what's going on. And, you know, I always think of like a strong tree with deep roots that just sits there, and in the midst of all the wind is a place of refuge. I think that's what a father should be in the home. And many of us grew up without that figure. And Yeshua is that. He's that strong tree. He's that place we can run to during this time. And He has the strong roots, and we should have those strong roots too. And I feel like, you know, Worthy News is going out, being that place of showing people, hey, it's gonna be crazy, but we're gonna be okay. Let's get through this. Come seek shelter over here. And you're being mobile, and you're sharing people. You're spreading the truth of the gospel, and of course, the hope and love of what Yeshua has done for us. And that's awesome. Thank you for doing that.
do churches reach out to you, or how do you?
Yeah, a lot of churches reach out, and a lot of things. I want to go back just a little bit. I know that we're going to date this, but I just kind of, you know, April 8th, there's a huge eclipse that's going to go all the way across America.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just happened to see a video of where the eclipse is going across and how it's going across, the timing of it. The big event that's happening right now in Texas, I mean, you had, of course I'm dating this, but there's a lot of Republican governors, along with Governor Abbott of Texas, that are at Eagles Pass, Texas. This is where the Supreme Court has said you need to cut out the razor barbed wire, and then Governor Abbott said we're putting more in. The eclipse that's coming, the very first city that it crosses is Eagles Pass, Texas.
Really? Really? I did not know that.
Wow.
I just happened to see it the other day, and I was blown away. Because we understand that God uses things to tell us something. Yeah. Now, the rabbis would say that a lunar eclipse is an omen for Israel, because the Jewish people are on the lunar calendar. You know, they look at it as, but a solar eclipse is an omen to the nations, because the nations are on a solar calendar, a 365 day calendar instead of a 360 day calendar. And the eclipse is going over, it begins at Eagles Pass. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that means. I just found it completely like, really, Lord? I don't know, you know, what that means. I'm not going to go ahead and say anything. I mean, I'm the type of person that I know that events are happening, and I kind of like to sit back and then wait till the event happens and then say, Lord, okay, now you're telling us something. I'll give you an example. I was in Israel in 2015 for what they call the tetrad, blood red moons. So in 2014 and 2015, we had blood red moons on Passover and on Tabernacles. And there was a lot of books written, a lot of things happening. And people asked me what I thought. I said, look, I really don't know. I'm in Jerusalem. So I'm in Jerusalem for the fourth, you know, the blood red moon in September of 2015. And it was so interesting when I get there. It was the most bizarre night I've ever experienced. I first went to Mount Scopus because I really didn't want to be on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is in East Jerusalem. And Mount Scopus is right next to Hebrew University. But when I get to Mount Scopus, I realize I'm not going to have a good shot. So I'm going to have to go to the Mount of Olives. And when I drive to the Mount of Olives, I made a wrong turn. The next thing I know, I'm like in this Arab neighborhood, and I turn around, and I'm driving up, and all of a sudden I see a squad of IDF commanders coming down the road. And I roll down my window, and I'm talking to him in Hebrew, and I'm saying, what's going on, kids? What are you doing here? Get out of here.
So, oh my goodness.
Anyway, they were in some kind of raid that night. I really don't know what was happening, but I get to the Mount of Olives, and I'm there about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. There's nobody there. I'm like kind of shocked. There's nobody there. There's a CNN guy and whatever. And the moon is so small. It's so tiny. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you see all the covers. It's this giant moon.
Yes.
The CNN producers and everything that what it is, they take two pictures. They take a picture of the moon and they take a picture of Jerusalem. And then they transpose two images. It's not a big, like giant jumping out at you kind of experience. So it was very bizarre because there was like no one there. And I thought to myself, oh, this is interesting. But right around 3:30, buses start coming. I mean, buses after bus after bus. And all of a sudden, all of these Christians are coming out with their linen cloths. They got their shofars blowing. And I mean, they're anticipating the rapture.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I look around and I'm like, what's going on? At the same time that this is going on, the Muslims, the prayer towers start going off. So the prayers are going off of it, which and as the prayers are going off, the Christians aren't gonna have anything of it. So they start blowing the shofars. As they're blowing the shofars, the all of a sudden car alarms start going off. So car alarms are going off, cars are blasted, everything. I mean, it's like going nuts. And I'm looking at the moon and I'm like, it's so tiny. It's so tiny. Like what is going on here?
Yeah.
So, you know, that night I drove the Dead Sea Road going back to my house in Arad. And I was praying, Lord, you know, what is all this mean? Mm. When I get home, I start doing Worthy News. And that day was the beginning of the Russians and their involvement in Syria. Syria, the whole Putin entrance into Syria was on that fourth blood red moon. It was September 28th, 2015. Mm. A week later, we find one of the largest oil fields. It's found by Genie Exploration. The oil field is so large, they say it's 8 to 10 times larger than any oil field that we've ever found on the Golan Heights. Hmm. And here is this whole thing. And so while everyone was anticipating like a rapture, anticipating, you know, this event or that event, I actually sat back and said, Lord, what are you telling us? And now the Lord really, you know, China showed me, this is a, you know, an event. The next time that the blood red moon happens again, over Jerusalem on a feast day is 2029 or 2030. Mm-hmm. I have to relook it up. There's another set of tetrads, but only one of those tetrads is on the blood red moon in Jerusalem. And I just thought to myself, wow, this is so while there's an eclipse coming, I have no idea what it means. I just find it fascinating. It's going over Eagle Pass as the first city that it's touching that's going to be dark, you know, right around 1:30 on April 8th for about 5 minutes. And I just found it just so fascinating. Anyway, it's just one of those things that we'll find out what it means later. But, you know, while we're kind of sitting here and kind of, you know, looking.
Right. I know that they recently did this big truck down to the border, take the border back stuff. And it's very interesting to watch, especially how the American news will slant, you know, the right or patriotism for being this evil thing or extreme. But I feel like the gates have been opened here in America for a little while here, and it's kind of nice to see someone stand up and say we got to take control of the border.
Right. Well, I think that you know, as this year kind of unfolds, it really will give us an understanding where America fits in the prophecy. You know, a very disturbing thing that we reported last week was that Biden is working out a situation to unilaterally declare a Palestinian state without Israel. And if he does so and declares a Palestinian, he literally is, you know, while Trump announced Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, you know, this is almost a slap in the face the other way, to the other extreme. You know, we're going to go ahead and declare a state and, you know, almost reward terrorism. And that's the sense that, you know, that people will get. And the irony is that this won't bring peace.
No.
It will go ahead and, you know, they'll think that it brings peace, but, you know, you're dealing with a spiritual entity and you're dealing with, you know, spiritual forces of darkness that are not trying to create a Palestinian state. They're trying to eradicate the Jewish people. Right. And so, you know, in that context, you know, they still, you know, even if you give them a state, it's still, they're still going to declare a state from the river to the sea, meaning that they want to eradicate the Jewish people. And this will not bring peace in any stretch of the imagination. So we'll see, you know, if Biden does this, and if he does, I think that that's going to bring a different kind of judgment to America, that it'll be a real eye-opening event. I don't know, you know, Bill Koenig has kind of detailed this in several of his books, you know, just the different ways that, you know, when the United States comes, you know, tries to bring forth a two-state solution, the types of judgment that have happened within 48 hours. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily going to happen. I mean, I'm not, but I do see that there is a correlation that we, you know, it'll be, you know, almost eye-opening to the degree that, wow, but, you know, the main thing we have to do is just stay focused on, you know, our mission. You know, our mission is just to preach this good news. And, you know, while the world is in complete turmoil and while the world's in complete chaos, you know, the only place to be is His perfect will, you know. And when you're in His perfect will, then you can be in the middle of a storm. You can be in the middle of a, you know, a hurricane. You know, we think about these hurricanes. Well, what's the safest place to be is in the eye of the storm. In the middle of it, you know, the birds are flying. You're like, oh, wow, the sun is all bright. Meanwhile, everything around us is completely being destroyed. And I think that that's kind of, you know, we as believers have to get to that place where we can just be at perfect rest while the world's in complete chaos. And, you know, that only comes through prayer and just really, you know, knowing His word, knowing that they, you know, that it's all worked out. Everything's all done. You know, it's just, you know, how are we going to go ahead and stand up for Him and stand up, you know, not that He needs anyone to stand up for Him, but who's going to be the ones that have, you know, whom shall I send, you know?
Yes.
And will we be the ones that answer the call?
Yeah.
Amen.
So for our viewers, so they can get connected with Worthy News, or is it Worthy Brief?
Well, there's actually a bunch of sites. We have,
okay. You
know, worthybrief.com is actually our archive of every Worthy Brief we sent out.
Okay.
Worthy News is where we publish all of our news. Worthydevotions.com is where we publish the devotions that go with the Worthy Brief. So there's a lot of different ways to connect. The idea was really to create such a vast network that people looking for whatever could stumble into the ministry and really just see a picture of truth, you know.
Yes.
You know, the hard thing about these days is that everyone's trying to politicize, you know. Facts are facts. Mm-hmm. You know, it really shouldn't have any kind of political bent. You know, personally, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm a Biblican. I'm okay with it, you know. If it doesn't, you know, we're gonna have a little issue. And that goes with anyone. You know, my hope isn't in politics. My hope isn't in, my hope is that the King of Kings is coming soon. And the reality is that, you know, whatever we see as politics really isn't the answer. I used to work for the Christian Coalition. So I worked inside of Washington, D.C. And the one thing I realized is politics is really just a Band-Aid of a spiritual problem. And if we're going to have a real transformation in America, it's not going to be through politics. It's going to be through a revival. And if we have a mass revival, if we have this genuine contrition of heart amongst believers and have a change, then, you know, we can see something radically, you know, change for America and see, you know, a real move. I think that we're, there's so many believers in the land you know, I know that everyone, you know, that tends to focus on prophecy wants to focus on how God's going to destroy America. I kind of look at the situation with Abraham, and mm-hmm. Abraham said, you know, if there's just, you know, 45 righteous, will you not, you know, and he goes all the way down, you know,
right.
Just come on, versus 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I almost feel like I'm at the Shook when I read that story. You know, you're at the Shook, and the Shook is the marketplace in Jerusalem. You know, it feels like a third world country. No, I'm only paying 5 shekels for that pomegranate. No, 3 shekels, 3 shekels. come on, give me a deal. Anyway, but
I love that Abraham's prayer and interceding. And I think the number 10 is very specific because it definitely connects us with the 10 tribes. If there's just 10 righteous, and so I think
the 10 lost tribes.
Yeah, the 10 lost tribes. But it's a specific number and I love it. But yeah, I've been, again, very blessed by following Worthy News. And I like the way you hit different topics from world news to the Israel-Palestinian conflict news, what's happening in the United States, what's happening with Christians around the world. I mean, that's
Christian persecution.
Yeah. So I really appreciate all of that. And, well,
and the other thing that we're trying to do more of is really talk about the revivals happening. I do see something happening. I mean, you know, where we're seeing persecution, and I know this seems strange, but persecution is the fire of revivals. I know that we feel very uncomfortable by it, but, you know, in 1949, the Communist Party took over China. When they took over China, by 1953, there were no Christian missionaries in China. And they said, we're going to go ahead and eradicate the gospel. But what that did was it actually started the fires. And now you have over 100 million believers in China. And a lot of those believers in China, you know, are calling to build a road to Jerusalem. They a lot of them have an understanding of why Israel is important. And I think that you're seeing that, you know, it's the same thing in like the Koreas, you know, the South Korea, there were no believers there. I mean, there were no believers there 100 years ago. And the gospel has exploded in South Korea. You have almost 40% of South Korea as believers. So I think that there's something happening. I know that we tend to look at America as post-Christianum, you know, as a nation that's gone away from its roots. And it's, but, you know, I kind of, you know, you remember the story of course, I shouldn't really use a Karate Kid illustration, but I will. You know, the Karate Kid 3, you know, the tree is broken, you know, and he says, but it has good roots like you, Daniel's son. You know, I think that there is a good root.
Yeah.
You know, there's a root that runs deep in America. And I do think that what COVID did and what is actually coming this year is probably another pruning. As hard as that is, the pruning needs to take place so they can produce abundant fruit again. And I do think that while it's very unpleasant, you know, I'm sure if you're the tree, you're like, don't cut that branch. Okay, fine, you cut it.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden there's, oh, I got more lemons, you know.
Yeah.
And, so I think that, you know, while, you know, we probably won't like the pruning process, I think it's necessary so that we can actually get back to our roots. As hard as that is for us to hear, I think that it's through the fires of revival and through the fires of persecution, through the fires of testing, that we become refined, that we become more focused, that we, as believers, go ahead and say, hey, we really don't have that much time left. I mean, I'm looking at the end of the race, and I'm like, you know, let's just sprint to the finish line. You know, it's amazing kind of looking back, you know, I got radically saved in 1996 and I thought, oh, we got like 3 years left, 4 years left. Cause I thought Y2K was this big event.
Oh, yeah. Right. I remember. Yeah. I was there. You know,
then we passed Y2K. Then we thought, you know, like 2050 would be a big event. And, you know, now we're kind of going into these things. You're like, wow, we're still here. But, you know, the good thing is that we're just pressing forward. And so anyway, it's been a ride. I'm sure when we get the glory, we'll be saying, wow.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So it's, I know you guys do, some really dear friends of ours went on a tour with your group through Israel. And guys have any sort of plan sort of out there? I know you say you don't know what the next 2 weeks are immediately, but is there something on the schedule for maybe this year or 25 for our audience that may want to go on a tour with y'all? Well,
so what was really crazy was when we set up the tour in 2023, I told the tour guide, I want to be in Jerusalem for the 75th anniversary. So we took a whole group and I told him the day we needed to leave. And the irony is that the day we left, the next day, all the rockets started falling from Hamas and the airlines were actually shut down. My wife was flying standby, and because she flew standby, she couldn't get home for another, 10 days after. I got on a flight with my son and we already flew. We were actually in America about, 8 days or something without my wife. It was kind of strange. But this particular 2024, my tour guide says, we need to go ahead. We need to get everything set up for April and for September. Mm-hmm. Everything's. And I told him, I said, my spirit doesn't feel right now. I just don't feel, the opening. And, this is before the war broke out. And so I know a lot of people that already set up tours in motion, and now they've had to go through refunding and all. That's just another. I barely have enough time to keep my head above water. But I do think that once this is settled, I do think that we will run tours again. We'll have it on worthyisraeltours.com, but it's just not yet. As soon as I get the okay from the Lord and says, hey, these are the dates, we'll go ahead and schedule it out, and it'll be a great tour. We do a tour much differently than most tour companies. We give you not only the real, I call it the real Israel tour. It's not it's tourist spots, but it's the significance of the kingdom as well as the living stone. So we'll visit a lot of ministries and see a lot of different things that are actually happening on the ground, and do a lot of outreach type things. You try to do it a little differently than most, but.
So, on that note, coming back to October 7th and maybe where we're at today, we're touching on awakening, revival. So before we close out, what kind of move of the Spirit are you witnessing or hearing reports of in the land?
Well, so I honestly think that we're going to triple our numbers in Israel itself. Wow. I think that we're going to have a major move within Israel. When my wife said, people were asking us how to go ahead and support Israel. We actually set up a special Israel fund to actually just support ministries in Israel that are sharing the gospel. And so we've been, as a ministry, we've been able to send over $20,000, which is kind of awesome for us. For being able to just completely support, the outreach. I want to say this as gentle as possible. There's a lot of ministries that are not focused on the salvation of Israel. They're focused on helping Israel, but not the salvation of Israel. And that a lot of ministries, have people sign non-proselytization tapers saying it won't share the gospel. And I just think that's just anti. It's just not who I am, and I'm never going to do that. I'm just not going to compromise the gospel. I know that this is kind of a taboo subject for a lot of people, but we really got to make sure we know, whom he, the Jewish Messiah died for me. Why would I go ahead and hide that fact from the very people he came to save first? I mean, he came to lost Israel first. So I don't want to shy away from our mandate as believers. At the same time, it's not slamming a Bible in front of them. It's not, you're going to hell. I don't know too many people that got saved that way. I mean, I'm sure there are, but I do think that, what they see in my wife and I is that we generally love, generally love the Jewish people. And we that's despite the persecution, despite all the craziness and the chaos. Look, I just love on people. It's through when you can really love your enemies, genuinely love your enemies, that's the transformation that people see. It's like, how can you love someone that hates you? And I think that this is really going to be the testing. One of the tests that we'll go through is, you know, being able to love those that really genuinely hate us. You know, people tend to think that, you know, we as believers are very judgmental and, you know, you're going to hell. Look, I got radically saved out of a lifestyle that I should be long, long gone. And I don't wake up every morning just thinking to myself. And that keeps myself in perspective and allows myself to stay focused because I know what I got saved out of, and allows me to stay humble and allows me to walk without, you know, I think that what tends to happen as believers over time, we start becoming self-righteous. We just got to remind ourselves where we got saved from. And if we can stay in that humility, then we can walk as he's called us to walk and just really impact the world around us.
Amen.
So, amen. Well, thank you so much, Brother George. And we pray for blessings for you and Rivka as you guys go around and share the gospel and get on to Worthy News and see where they're at. And if you're a pastor or preacher in your area and you're looking for someone to come in and be a guest speaker in your home church and someone just to share the truth about Israel and what's going on in the world, please invite George over to wherever you're at. And I'm sure
you can. My wife leads incredible worship. I mean, she just came out with a song called Rise Up. It's got almost 1 million views since we published
it.
Oh, 1 million views. Can you imagine?
Wow. Rise Up.
You know, go to youtube.com. You know, go to Lazman Haze Music. Lazman Music. And you can go to her YouTube channel. But she's got some songs coming out. We were just talking about when we can get studio time again to kind of keep working on projects. She's really got some inspirational stuff coming. And you know.
Let the worshipers arise. It's the time.
Yes.
It is. And what's interesting is that I just read the synopsis of, quote unquote, The Chosen, the TV show. And the last two words they said in the synopsis is, rise up. I was like, I don't know what those two words are just jumping out at us as saying it's time to rise up.
Yes.
And so it really is. So check it out. Rise Up by Bot Rivka Witten, and she's doing something awesome. Well, it looks like we've got a minute left. Uh-oh, we got to close down. Should we close down prayer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for all those who are in the audience watching. Please go on to our YouTube channel, like, subscribe, and please continue to support GLC as we support other ministries who are out there doing the good works of the gospel. And yes, please, George, close us with a word.
So Abba, Father, I ask you, Lord, you would seal this word. I ask you, Father, that you would encourage the people. I ask you, Father, to just give them a sense of who they are, their kings and priests of the Most High God, to go forth in these last days, to go forth and conquer. In the name of Yeshua, send them forth. Shem Yeshua Mashiach. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us on Light of the Southwest. Shalom and blessings to you from us.
Shalom.
Shalom.